I hope you don't mind.
No, I thought you were talking about the one today.
No. Today...
When you were coming, but I said you didn't know.
No, I didn't answer you.
That's why I kept calling this out.
But you kept calling.
And what happened?
And what did you guys, voicemail?
Voicemail, nothing.
But you didn't leave a message.
No, I never leave a message.
Okay. I'm sorry, I forgot about it. I mean, I didn't answer you.
Okay. Got that other one.
Is there a quota of people?
Three.
Unfortunately, that's a quota. Shar, I don't feel like learning this. I mean, no offense. You're a nice guy. But I don't see... I almost don't see a point in once a week. It's such a hemshech. We learn it 10 minutes a day. You should come every night to the 8:30 Ma'ariv and stay for 10 minutes to hear this. It'll change your life. Okay. So he's talking about the Thursday night Chavis Arbogus. He's talking about how one of the milas, one of the purposes of Shaar HaBechina, of doing what you're supposed to do, as he's teaching us in Shaar HaBechina, is to recognize that everything Hashem does is good, and Hashem is a mativ, and that's part of the essential quality, part of the essential quality of Hashem. And he talked about, he said, some things are obvious and some things are not obvious. The toeles, the good in light, is obvious. That gives us, we see things. That's no, you don't have to be a genius to figure out why it's good to be able to see things. What's good about Choshech? Why is that good? What? That's what he says. He says, L'chora, Aval HaChoshech To'aliyosov ne'elamos, they're more hidden. Remember, you're not to, we don't even know what Choshech is, right? We don't know what Choshech is, right? We're used to electric lights, halogen lights, fluorescent lights. Choshech is Choshech. You can light a candle or a torch, but that's about it. But it's dark. So he says it's not so easy. We're on page Ayin Gimel, the paragraph that starts with the word Umechlal. And his point in this paragraph is that besides all the other things that come out of Shaar HaBechina, it comes out an appreciation that Hashem is a mativ. That everything, you realize there's a creator. And you realize that he has a plan, and that everything has a design, and that everything's amazingly complex. It's impossible, for all practical purposes, it's totally impossible that it happened on its own. Then you realize that everything in this intricacy of design and complexity of design, everything has a purpose of toelus, either to avoid hefsid, so that things should be good, so that things should work, so that they should work in the best possible way that they can work. So you think, maybe, that that's not true. You think, not you. People maybe say, it would be wonderful, it would be so much better if I had three eyes. If I had an eye in the back of my head, it took them a long time to invent the windshield wiper that wipes the back window. So if I had an eye in the back of my head, Hashem's creation would be a little more perfect. So to think that way, I don't want to call it apikursis, although in its pristine form it would be apikursis, but the person that's saying that certainly doesn't mean to be an apikursis. He's just making a fundamental mistake, and he should realize that Hashem made everything so perfectly, so he didn't slip up with the third eye, and for whatever reason it would not be a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing that we're not aware of what's going on behind our backs. Maybe it would be too distracting. You could sit and speculate and think. You could come up with your own reasons. But to think that Hashem made two eyes, two ears, a nose with two nostrils, one mouth, teeth, a tongue, and all the things we've been learning about, and like, wouldn't it have been great if he would have made a third eye? No, it wouldn't have. It certainly wouldn't have been more perfect. It would have been not so perfect. Everything Hashem did is for toelos and for perfection. To avoid hefsid, or to bring on toelas. He says some things you realize, some things you don't realize. So that's another benefit of Shara Bechina. I told you, a person in shul once drove me to Yerushalayim, and he wanted to talk to me, and things were not going well in his life, and he posed the question, like, who says Hashem is a Matif? Like, where does it say that? And it was a very good question. I realized then when he asked it to me that when we talk about, like, it's not in the 13 Imamins, if you say Hashem is just, Hashem does everything with justice and fairness. So I do believe that's in the 13 Imamins. We couldn't exist if we didn't believe that. And certainly Hashem is that. It says it in the Pasuk, Kel Emunah Ve'Enava. And I think it is one of the 13 Imamins that Hashem punishes the wicked and gives Schar to the Tzaddik. And that Imamin is not just like playing Truth or Consequences. When I was a kid growing up, there was a game show on TV, Truth or Consequences. Old show. By the time I was about mitzvah, it stopped already. It was like very old, the 50s. Like, to tell the truth, and I've got a secret. That couldn't have been before the 50s, because in my mother's womb I was learning Torah, not watching television. So it couldn't have been before the 50s. And certainly as a neshama, I wasn't watching television. It could be, it started on radio in the 20s, then it went to television. Anyway, it's not just to play a game, Truth or Consequences. It's not just to scare you into doing mitzvahs. If it's one of the 13 animamins, it means it's one of the fundamental principles of Hashem, that he's fair. And I realized then that it really doesn't say in the 13 animamins. As he asked me the question, I started thinking quickly if it's indeed one of the fundamental, and it's certainly an attribute of Hashem. This is like a philosophical question. It's certainly an attribute. It's certainly an attribute, but the question is it's, how fundamental is it? And the answer is it is very, very fundamental. Why? Because the true objective nature of Hashem, we don't know at all. I mean, we Hashem, when he's not relating to the world, Hashem kishela atzmo, what's sometimes called the Or Ein Sof, or what the Tanya calls Loitfisa be machshava klal, that madrega where he's not relating to the world, he's not relating to anything, he's Hashem. Right? There's a level of Hashem, a darga of the Or Ein Sof, which is like before the tzimtzum, before he doesn't relate to anything. Hashem is. So on that level, you can't say either that Hashem is really Rachum or Chanon either, or fear. Hashem is nothing. Hashem is a blob, so to speak. Hashem is just is reality. He is what he is. Once you talk about creation and you say he's Rachum v'Chanun, then certainly the whole creation's inception was a manifestation of Hatova. According to many Sifrei Kabbalah, and the Ramchal among them, the impetus to create comes from Hashem's nature of being Meitiv. Now, Hashem doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to do anything. Hashem's not forced to do anything. When Hashem does things, like when I was younger, I used to like, does Hashem have to create the world? Like if he didn't, you know, we used to play around with these things, thinking it was Nogea. Sometimes you meet up with people who either really want to know the answer or they just like to talk. Usually the latter. Because they're not really troubled by it. They just want to trap you to explain why they're not from. But Hashem doesn't have to do anything. Hashem doesn't have to be fair. Hashem doesn't have to be Rachum. Hashem doesn't have to be Chanun. So if he is, and we say, if the pshat is that's his essential nature, the pshat, he has to do it. He has to be Rachum. That's not the pshat. The pshat is that's the essential nature of Hashem being Rachum. Now, when we talk about the essential nature of Hashem, it's essential to realize that we're not talking about his essential objective nature, kishela atzmo. We can't talk about that. We have no way of relating to it, of comprehending it, of talking about it. It doesn't really exist. So all we talk about is Hashem as he relates to the world. And we talk about his essential nature as the creator of the world, as the being who decided to create and have Bruim. We're not just talking about people. We're talking about anything that exists. Time you're talking about. Black holes you're talking about. You're not talking about us. You're talking about anything. Anything at all. You're talking about Tohu Vavohu. Hashem had to create Tohu Vavohu. That's also creation. So, when we talk about Hashem, is Hashem's essential nature. So certainly Hashem's essential nature is to be native. It doesn't have to be in the animamins. Just like Rachum B'chanun doesn't have to be. It's inherent in Hashem's creation that he is a native. That's why he created. He created as a manifestation of Atov. The Chavivavavos wants you to see that and to... So you say, okay, that's very nice intellectually. But the Chavivavavos holds that the benefit, one of the benefits of Shaar HaBechina is to experience that, to internalize it, to realize it, to know that Hashem is a native. Like I said the other, I said it 2 days ago. You know, a guy says, I lost all my money in the stock market, and then he says, but my pancreas is working, and my kidneys are working, and my food's being digested, and I have the ability to think, and to remember, and to forget. All these things that we talked about over the last few weeks. So he says, I lost my money in the stock market, like big deal. I was like, that's nothing. That's nothing. Go to the hospital and watch people who can't go to the bathroom. And the child says, you want to change places with them. You get your $1 million back, and you'll be in the hospital bed, Khalila, with a bedpan, and you can't go to the bathroom. You're hooked up to a machine. You know, so Hashem's doing that every moment for you. So that's realizing that Hashem's... So then the person wouldn't have asked me the question. That's what I answered him, really. That the question is based on a lack of appreciation of Shaar HaBechina. You wouldn't have a question that Hashem is a native if you learn Shaar HaBechina and you think about all the things we think about, and then you could even dabble in the Svarim that talk about that Hashem's... The very fact of creation is a hatava. It's like existence, that you exist is a hatava. Why did he have to create anything? He wasn't missing anything. So it's an act of hatava. So then the question always comes back, but was he missing that he had to be native? That's always like the cute question. That's why I explain. When you say Hashem's essential nature is a certain way, that doesn't mean he's compelled. He's not compelled in a childish way. And you say, well, he didn't have to do it, so then why did he do it? If that's his essential nature, so what happens? He doesn't. Hashem doesn't not do his essential nature. But again, what's the nekuda, the real important nekuda to remember is that Hashem's essential nature is never Hashem's real essential nature. That's something unfathomable and that our minds can't be toe-faced. So always when we talk about essential nature, we talk about in as much as he's a creator and he created everything. He created existence. But it's still his essential nature. It's not shot, he's compelled, he has to, or else. It's his nature. That's him. Hashem doesn't have Bechira. It's like a funny statement. Hashem, of course Hashem must do whatever he does. It's not like he has a choice. Yeah, no. That's not Hashem. That's against the nature of Hashem. But it doesn't mean he's a muchrach. In a childish sense, in a dictionary sense, we'd call him a muchrach because Hashem must act out his essential nature. But that's not called muchrach. That's called Hashem is Hashem. That's all. So like, it's a silly... It's just playing with words. Hashem's not compelled to do anything, but he is compelled to be himself, whatever he is. That's not called compelled. That's called he's Hashem. Okay, so we did this the last time too. We can't get to his example. And it's very important, your soul. He didn't say it till now. That Shaar HaBechina is to, and people are troubled by this. People say, you know, I look at my life. Don't tell me that Hashem is a mativ. That's not true. And when you realize that Hashem is a mativ, it's easier to cope. It's easier to have bitachon. One of the fundamentals of bitachon, when the Chavit Havodah says the necessary components to have bitachon, so one of them is to realize that Hashem is a mativ. You can't have bitachon if you don't realize that Hashem is a mativ. Because, like, you can have bitachon like you have bitachon in the bus driver, that he'll get you to Yerushalayim even though he's not a mativ, because that's his job. But with Hashem, we have much more than that. We have bitachon, we rely on Hashem totally. So we rely on him because he's a mativ. And then you're able to cope if things don't happen the way you'd like them to happen. Because you're saying, oh, I guess Hashem's idea of tov is not mine. You know, machshav al sai, machshav al seichem. But you can cope with it. Because you can cope with it. Okay, good. We'll stop here.
Okay, that was a question.
Yes.
I'm fine with Hashem doesn't have